The Sharpshooters, episode 30, December 28th, 2005.
Get 'em.
Do you know what time it is? Tell me, do you know? Do you know what time it is? Tell me, do you know? Do you know what time it is? Tell me, do you know? Do you know what time it is? Swizzy, take, I said, come on. Show me if it's like that. You wanna grind and you know it's really like that. Dudes who snitch, nah, I don't really like that. I don't condone the chrome.
Welcome everybody to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We wanna say, Marcus, did you have a Merry Christmas?
I had a jelly old thing.
I had a very good Christmas. I got my iPod. Marcus got me my wrestling for my PSP. I was happy. Don't know how you pulled it, but you did.
I know how to pull strings, man. I know a guy.
Don't eat that bread. Marcus is trying to eat his Christmas dinner right now. I just want to let everybody know while we do this show.
It's not Christmas dinner because Christmas happened last week. It's just leftover turkey.
Whatever. So,
nice dinner.
Enough of us talking about our Christmas. We hope you guys all had a good holiday season. Happy Hanukkah to everybody that's celebrating Hanukkah right now.
Yes, happy Kwanzaa.
I don't know when Kwanzaa starts. I know Hanukkah.
I think it's all about the same time.
No, Hanukkah just started after Christmas. I know that much.
No, Hanukkah starts before.
No, it's the first day after Christmas. I have a Jewish friend. I know that.
It was your Jewish friend is flawed.
No, it's not. It was on a Jewish calendar, Mark. It's the first day after Christmas. Then you know. So, as you guys all know, once again, because of the holiday season, it's a very slow week in news. There's only one story that I could find mustered up that was of any importance, and that is Booker T was injured on a SmackDown Live show, doing a show. How do you think the ramifications of him being injured will affect the storyline between him and Chris Benoit?
What type of injury?
He pulled his groin. And the injury that he suffered normally takes an average person 4 to 6 weeks to heal.
Well, I believe it'll get affected a lot because, you know, they probably was going to step it up a notch and they wasn't going to be slow and very paced and stayed in the ring the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's like the first, I think, three. Was it three? Yeah, first three. And Benoit finally won, you know. And it's probably going to slow down and not be as good.
Oh, okay.
It's going to ruin the best.
Well, a lot of people don't think that. Well, if it was a regular athlete, they're saying that he would miss a lot of wrestling. But because he's a wrestler, that he probably won't miss anything. He's going to work through it. We'll see, especially with the new drug policy. Now, back to some comedic relief. Marcus was surfing WWE.com as he normally does.
Yes, I do.
And he found something. And he came across a clip of our boy, well, not our boy,
he's
but
my boy now.
Marcus' boy, Trevor Murdoch, reviewing Brokeback Mountain. So what we did was, we got the audio clip of this, and we're going to play that for you right now. So sit back, enjoy the clip, and we'll be right back.
I hear Vince McMahon is going to review Bret Hart's DVD, and I want to review my favorite movie this holiday season, Brokeback Mountain. It's about two cowboys who fall in love with each other. And from what I've been told, it stirred up quite a ruckus because it's not socially acceptable. And I am by no means a movie critic, but this movie hits close to home. Hell, I've been out there. Long days, nights on end, nothing but God's country and my friend Larry staring at me. After a while, Larry starts to look a little sweet. I'm tired of you people judging this movie. Hell, I'm tired of you judging me. Look in the mirror. What would you do on that long stretch of highway with someone like me? Trevor Murdoch. Would you judge me? Or would you do whatever the hell you need to do to get through the evening? You think about that.
Now, after hearing that, tell me that is not the most hilarious thing that you have ever heard. Are you judging Trevor Murdoch? Are we judging Trevor Murdoch, Martin?
Well, I'm judging like you guys judge me lately on the show, but that's a different story. And the funny thing about this, how we was talking about this movie, it had no reference to wrestling at all, but we was like, I'm going to send you to Brokeback Mountain and all that other stuff. Dirty plugs. And then the wrestling, Trevor Murdoch gives an impressive review. Still doesn't make me want to see it. But does it implicate that him and Les K had something?
No, it was Larry, not Les. It was Larry.
I know, but
Larry started looking sweet.
He was Les K's partner at the time.
But Les is Les and Larry is Larry.
Larry looked a little sweet, though.
So, we hope you guys enjoyed that. Hopefully, we're going to try to deliver more little sound bites or something to put into the show. Maybe to try to spice it up a little bit. I'm going back to the original way that we recorded the show when we first started it. So, we're going to see how this works with it. Me and Marcus kind of tested out right here. Looked like it did pretty good. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it looks all right.
All right. So, we gave you guys that. We really have no more
news. You didn't even give out the information.
I'll be damned. Well, since we ain't got really nothing else to talk about, let's give it out right now. Mm-hmm. Our website, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Our email address, thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Please, feel free to give us any type of advice, suggestions, anything that you want us to do different. If there is a clip that you want us to play, please audio and make it that way.
What question you need answered?
We are here to help you out. True, we are no experts. We are fans just like you of the wrestling world. But we are here to get your voice heard, because guess what? We might not know the answer, but somebody else out there might know the answer or have a good idea.
Was you going for your Shatner for a moment?
Huh?
Was you going for your Shatner for a moment?
I don't know. I feel like a good...
How you were posing everywhere you say it looked like William Shatner.
I feel like I was giving a good infomercial right there.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty good. We had 15 seconds. We were like working on a barbecue shop, like, you know, on Friday.
That's some good turkey right there.
I know. I told you.
Anyway, so that's the news. We'll be right back with the TNA Impact Report.
All right.
So long, slow motion for me. Like your ass is screwed up. Make you move like the majors and do with stuff in slums. Bleak the black sheep, mommy, now pick it up. Hey, back to getting money. Keep it gully with my niggas. Hey, something is nothing. I'm pushing something new every day. Back on the grind. Keep easy on your mind. I'm one of a kind. The top's the bottom line. Yo, hey, one hand in the air. If it's like that. Welcome everybody back to the TNA Impact Report. I have to say, first off, my heart wasn't 100% into TNA this week.
Me neither. It's hard for me to analyze something on Christmas Eve.
And plus, TNA has had some bad weeks lately. The whole Sting.
I didn't thought it was that bad. The whole Sting and the war angle is very.
Yeah, because it's like you're not leading to Survivor Series. At least in WWE, we know this will be leading to Survivor Series.
But maybe they're eliminated to their Elimination X match that they had. Well, it's not Elimination.
But how's
X,
it
no X Division?
All right. So enough about our rants. Let's go on how this show opens up. The show opens up with Santa Claus coming out, but Santa Claus is escorted out to the ring by Tracy.
So I'm assuming Santa Claus is Matt Bentley.
It's Matt Bentley. After that,
you gonna do the Bentley bounce?
I'm not doing the Bentley bounce. Right now, I'm not doing it because if he's not wrestling, no reason to do the Bentley bounce. So after that, what happens? The Jericho ripoff intro airs, and here comes Christian Cage, comes out to the ring. He starts rambling about how Santa is here, his Santa didn't get him what he wanted for Christmas, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Comes to find out that Santa Claus, or Santa Bentley, had some gifts for Christian. So he goes into the bag, and he pulls out a pair of white jeans, mocking Jeff Jarrett. So Christian fumbles inside the ring, trying to put the jeans on. He finally gets them on.
Yeah, I was shocked. I honestly wish I didn't think he'd get them on, but he couldn't button them. But I was also worried that he may drop his pants in the ring. I was like, no, don't do that.
So, thank God that he did, you know, put it over his pants. But I think it didn't go as smooth as they wanted to. Then Bentley goes back into the bag. You know you got glitter on your face?
What?
You got glitter on your face.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
You don't even have a mirror.
Anyway, but I'll show you afterwards.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But like, where?
It's like one right here, one right there. Anyway, back to it.
What?
So he goes back into the bag, and now he pulls out one of Jarrett's t-shirts out, plus some glasses and a blonde wig.
Mm-hmm.
Then Christian goes on another rant talking about how can you be such a great champ if your catchphrase is only "Don't piss me off."
Yeah, which is an awful catchphrase.
It is a very awful catchphrase.
I mean, don't piss me out.
Pretty much. So I guess we should assume that Christian is the number one title person now?
He has to be. He beat Monty Brown.
But is that what we're to assume?
Mm-hmm. What did he do with that guitar? I mean, he had this little guitar.
He had the little guitar. Some people, to me, the angle went too long for what it was worth. And also, you really shouldn't start the angle off with that. I mean, the show off with that. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't mind it being the beginning. As long as there's wrestling in the end.
But then, well, we didn't get that. But then, of course, you know, TNA prides himself on wrestling. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, wrestling wasn't what they did in this segment. It went a little bit too long.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of work to do in their segments like that.
Yeah, only Christian can really talk, but...
And it wasn't even...
And he's a good guy, and you don't really want to hear the good guy talk. You want to hear the bad guy
talk. And then you
talk.
Don't want to hear him talk about Jeff Jarrett, personally.
Yeah, because nobody likes Jerry. And okay. Nobody's really... I don't believe there's any interest in the feud.
Exactly. So now it's time for the first match of the night, actually. The Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels...
Epic return.
...made his return from his concussion by Samoa Joe... versus Eric Young of Team Canada. Before this match started, Alex Shelley came out to the ring to film the match. You know, more footage mm-hmm. for learning. And then it was a pretty basic X Division match. And what happens is also Shannon Moore comes out talking about the X Division needs to be punked.
Does Ebner come out right here?
No, he doesn't come out right here.
Okay.
He comes out on the Abyss Chris Sabin match.
Okay.
The match afterwards, I believe.
Chris Sabin!
So anyway, pretty much, it's not much of a match
to
talk about. It was an okay match, but it was like, whatever.
It wasn't okay.
Daniels wins the match with angel wings after Scott Dillmore tried to come in and interfere in the match.
Then again, I was not into this match. Maybe the holiday season, maybe I just wasn't into the match.
But then, they downgrade even more, because they go backstage. And it's Kip James and BG James back there with Bully Bob Armstrong, Road Dogg's daddy.
Apparently, were they with him?
Yeah, they were with him.
I thought that was with, I thought Road Dogg and,
It was Road Dogg, Kip,
and
Bully Bob. They were talking about,
right. I'm confused.
Bully Bob talking about, you guys are a family, you need to reunite, yakety smackety, blah, 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 blah. And Kip was like, I don't know if we could ever do this and all this good stuff. Bully Bob was like, don't worry, I can take care of this.
Another dead storyline for TNA.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, this has no...
And then you know what they trying to do to sell that storyline? They keep mentioning that Bullet Bob is 66 years old. Do we really care?
Yeah, Ric Flair is like 72 years old and he's in the ring.
He's 50-something.
I don't care. Same thing.
But the point is...
I don't care about Bullet Bob.
No one cares about 4 Live Crew breaking up.
No, I don't even care about them together or breaking up. But I prefer them broken up.
Okay.
And I didn't really watch the Truth match later.
Oh, yeah, I didn't either.
I really just didn't. It was Christmas Eve, man. And you know, I know he has it T-boned, but I didn't feel like going
exactly.
back.
So then, we come to another match, and you hear Chris Sabin. You think, okay, it's going to be a good match, until you find out the man is fighting Abyss.
Yeah, and that's when I knew he wasn't winning.
What? Who was?
I mean, Chris Sabin.
I have to say one thing about Abyss. He's been almost every Impact I have ever watched. Wrestling.
Yeah. Every Impact, at least having one match.
And I still haven't got a good match from Abyss yet.
Not a great one. Well, the Monster Ball, too, was pretty good.
Yeah, but...
But it wasn't about him. It was about Hardy and
Thing.
And Rhino.
Well, so, of course, in this match ends, Chris Sabin attempts the cradle shot, but he can't lift Abyss. No duh. Then Abyss reverses the cradle shot into his black hole slam, and he gets the win. Once again, another kind of squash match for Abyss. Point is, there was no... Where was Shark Boy at? Could he take the loss? Because aren't they trying to build Chris Sabin as a bigger star than what he is? Losing to Abyss don't help his career.
Nah, it really doesn't.
So
they could have done something. I mean, enough Abyss. Put somebody else in the card. I haven't seen Petey Williams wrestle in a while.
Me neither. Ever since Samoa Joe won the belt.
Yeah. I mean, put Petey Williams in the
we're,
match.
We're flying through this TNA report. See how much we like it.
Because nothing happened and it was Christmas Eve. I was
and then,
interested.
Here
but
we
I
go.
I bet you next week's show for New Year's one. That's going to be pretty good.
You can read what happened.
Oh, you already have the notes?
Yeah, it's already out there because they taped all 3 episodes at once. You didn't know that?
I knew
this was back to back to back.
I knew it, but I didn't want you to tell
me. I haven't read them, though. I don't read them after I see the show.
I know.
All right, so the next match was 2 black people versus 2 black people. No, it was one black guy versus another black guy. Ron Killings.
Why do you care?
Ron Killings.
Why do you have to throw race in the middle?
Because I hate the truth. Ron Killings versus Kenny King, who apparently has a trial with WWE in Florida. So he's going to be trying out.
Let me tell you something. I didn't watch the match.
He looks okay in the ring. Wait, anyway, okay. The Truth wins with a missile dropkick.
He did do dancing, right?
Yeah, let's go. Bullet Bob comes out, wants to talk to Ron Killings. But Ron's like, I can't talk to you. He said he was done with 4 Live Crew. Enough is said. Then he resumes dancing in the middle of the ring like a fool.
Yeah.
Like a fool.
Like a fool, the orc.
Once again.
I'm telling you, he looks like He looks like one of the Skull Island tribe members, or he looks like one of the orcs from Lord of the Rings, man. I just hate him. Just stop dancing. I can respect the man.
Exactly.
I mean, he has to look. He has a lot of look.
He really had a look.
He has an okay look.
You wouldn't put a mask on personally for me.
Oh, don't talk about his face. How would you like if he talked about the way you look?
I wouldn't care. Because I look at him and you still ugly.
I'm just saying, though.
No, the dancing needs to stop.
His dancing needs to stop. Just make him a regular wrestler without a gimmick of dancing. Just have him, you know, come on, do his thing.
And the thing is,
matches are good, but then he got to do a breakdance leg drop.
Yeah, you don't have to dance like that. So now it's time for the main event. It's Christian Cage versus Wildcat Chris Harris from the America's Most Wanted. When the match first starts, so they can stall more time and go to a commercial break, the ref decides to send Chris Harris' partner James Storm to the back. Because I forgot what James did, but he had
it
to go to the back.
It doesn't matter, because there's no rules in TNA.
So let's get into the match, how this match ends, so we can hear it in his TNA Impact Report.
Although nobody cares about Impact
Nobody
Report.
Cares about the Impact
no
Report.
No Impact question yet.
Okay, so the ref catches Chris Harris with some handcuffs that Gail Kim threw inside the ring. But instead of just removing the handcuffs off the ring like a good ref, he gets in an argument over the handcuffs with Gail Kim because he hops on the apron. Why is he arguing with Gail Kim about some handcuffs that he found in the ring? It's no reason to argue with her. Then,
well, he's a referee. He has to become distracted sooner or later.
James Storm's running the ring, hits Christian with the belt. At this time, Harris covers him, only gets a two count. Finally, after they fight with each other again, Christian lands the Unprettier on Chris Harris, but then is attacked by Jarrett. So Jarrett comes in, but Christian avoids the attack that Jarrett gave him, but then he's pounced from behind by Mighty Brown. Pounce!
Hey, we went pouncing fest earlier.
Yeah, we was pouncing each other. We had foot.
Just for no reason.
Ain't nothing like seeing two fat guys pounce each other. It's really funny.
Yeah, and then like the impact.
And then, you know what? It should have went off with Mighty Brown hitting the pounce on Christian and they posing. But no. We had to see the damn stroke on the title belt.
The worst fit, the front dressing leg sweep has to go down.
I still thought it was funny, though, that they was yelling, shiny shirt, shiny shirt.
Yeah, they always do because he always wears a shiny shirt.
I don't know. I just think
his shirts are blinding, Eric.
TNA needs a lot of work.
They need writers.
Jarrett does not need to be the champion.
Yep. And they need more time.
And put it this way.
Title.
We're getting really tired of it that it's like, I don't want this to become just a WWE show. Then we wouldn't have an hour show. But TNA is not even being a factor right now. And the worst part about it, you saw it on Raw when he was confronting Shawn Michaels at the show. He was like, you ain't got no place to go. Ain't nobody else to work for.
TNA, if Shawn Michaels went to TNA, I'll tell you this.
He'd get a title shot,
probably win the title, and that's to deal with Vince's crap, and probably bring more ratings to TNA.
Now,
if they get back Shawn Michaels, they got something.
Was Sting coming? Does that make Sting the number one contender now?
It makes everybody number one contender. If I came in TNA, I'm the number one contender. All I got to do is say, I want you, Jarrett.
They just need a TNA Royal
Rumble. And then
he
go to Mike today.
All right,
Marcus, what is the grand finale coming at me for?
Let's just end it now. Let's end with the TNA. We'll be right back.
Hey, double F.
We'll be right back.
Hey, double F. Oh, they work on Christian Double C, which I found for buddy.
Okay. We'll be right back with the WWE Monday Night Raw Report.
J-A-E-F-F-J-A-R-E-D-D-J-J-J. You're NWA champion. Here's the stroke.
Hey yo, watch us like that, know it's like that. Grace of the problems, I ball just like that. Coupon lows, know you all gon' like that. Sit so right, least walk to walk back. Dude, stop front problems, you don't want that. 9mm hollows, I does that. When it come to getting paid for my life stat. Hoes, I slut, niggas gon' like that. Then I go expose them and show them this how we live. Hey, mommy know we holdin' cause all of us got a six pack. Rockefeller the crew, you know we do it like that. Niggas get imitators, but you ain't quite like that. Put one hand in the air, if it's like that, like that. Tell a little paper out, if it's like that, like that. Tell a chick to come here, if it's like that.
Welcome back, everybody.
Mommy, man.
It's time for the Sharpshooters Raw Report.
That was bad.
No, man. It's no do-overs. First take, only take. That's how I roll.
Do-overs.
So, Marcus, are you ready for
the football?
For the Raw Report?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So, should we jump right into it or?
Yeah, just jump into it. All right. Jump into it like a giant swimming pool.
Of jello?
I wouldn't jump. Unless there's a naked lady in there, I wouldn't jump in
there. You don't like Jello that much?
No.
Okay, anyway.
I don't want to be sticky.
All right. The Monday Night Raw episode opens up with a shot of Vince McMahon's mug. We get a big shot of his face and said that he was still interviewing for the GM position, which meant we were 2 weeks, we still ain't got no GM.
And we should have one by now. We should have a big shocker of the GM that's really a surprise.
But
we should have one.
Anyway.
Probably after New Year's.
Then he announces, I guess by not no GM being there, he's still a GM. So he announces that all the people that's participating in the Elimination Chamber match, they're going to be in elimination or beat the clock matches where the person with the quickest time wins. The last entry.
Well, I knew who won this before.
I knew Kane was going to win from the get-go.
I know. He always wins things like
you,
this.
This is where Kane excels at. But anyway, the thing was going to be random opponents. Mm-hmm. Then he mentions that Santa left him the Bret Hart DVD under his tree, and he was going to review it and give his fans his opinion on the DVD. Why? Because guess what? This would have made more sense if the DVD wasn't out in the stores already.
Yeah, and it would have made more sense if there was at least in Montreal or somewhere.
Exactly, but they're in America. So
in Connecticut, Stanford.
Yeah, hometown. Now it's time for the first Beat the Clock match of the night.
Sold out crowd.
Okay.
Live.
So it's time for Shawn Michaels to set the bar for the Beat the Clock match. And who is his opponent?
Snitsky.
Nobody else, but it's not my fault, Snitsky. What I thought was ridiculous was how the announcer was trying to sell Snitsky as being a great contender.
You can't sell Snitsky. One, nobody even know he came out because apparently he got no response when he ended.
Second, he ain't won a match in how long?
Since he beat Shelton, maybe.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think it's Snitsky.
You won last week, I'm guessing.
Snitsky is better than Abyss.
No.
I would rather see Snitsky fight than Abyss.
I'd rather see Abyss.
Wow, that's hard.
It's hard, but Snitsky, especially after this match, Snitsky did nothing the entire match. He gave Shawn Michaels a bunch of bear hugs and
well, pretty much Snitsky controlled the match the majority of the time. But then he made his mistakes that people like Snitsky do.
Mm-hmm.
He put Shawn Michaels on the top turnbuckle. Shawn Michaels punched him down. Just so happened Snitsky laid in a perfect position for the elbow from up above. Mm-hmm. Once he hits the elbow, you know what time it is. Michaels tunes up the band. He goes for the sweet chin music. And this is where I was shocked. Snitsky lands the big boot on him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you would think right here that he's been training with Steel Boot Tomko that this should have laid Shawn Michaels.
They are tag team partners.
I guess. But guess what happens? It doesn't. But somehow Michaels
kicks up.
Wins his way back into the good graces and lands sweet chin music. And he wins the match in 5 minutes and 56 seconds.
Record time.
Setting the bar for tonight's Beat the Clock match.
And right now, he's ahead of the lead in the record challenge.
Yeah, 5 minutes and 50 seconds.
I mean, that was obvious, but, you know, I just want to say that out there.
Okay.
Was something else I wanted to say on this? Was it? I don't think it was.
Snitsky needs to cut his beard.
No, that's assuming Tomko's gimmick as a tag team. The man's with beard. Oh, yeah, I was going to say this. The Shawn Michaels elbow has a name, or is it just the big elbow?
The Shawn Michaels elbow. That's all I can
Everybody
think of.
Has a special move, and this is his secondary knockout. Like Benoit's the flying head, but established. So it's just the flying elbow.
It's the flying elbow.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Now moving on to the next segment. It's the Cutting Edge with, once again, special child of guest, Ric Flair. They're supposed to talk about his troubles.
His legal issues.
Well, instead of having good old Rick or the Nate out there, they steal the Conan O'Brien skit where they have a picture and the lips are moving. Yes. People are saying that the person who was talking for Flair was Matt Stryker, but we have no confirmation.
No evidence
on that
whatsoever. At one point, Eric thought it was Kurt Angle.
I thought it was too.
But anyway,
pretty
this
much
was sorry.
Edge accuses Ric Flair of stealing all of his catchphrases and his moves from former superstars.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is that about? Do we really care?
Edge, all your moves are stolen from former superstars.
Exactly. The Cutting Edge, Piper's Pit.
Impaler DDT, the executor.
The highlight reel isn't the execution like a version of the sharpshooter Boston Crab or something like that.
His little DDT finishing maneuver, that's a DDT.
Then
he got the spear, Goldberg.
Then they had Lip Flair. I'm going to call him Lip Flair, the fake Flair. He talks about the reason why he beat up the guy in the car was because the guy said that Edge wasn't a better wrestler than Ric Flair. What the hell is that about?
I don't know. Why does Edge want to feud with Ric Flair?
I don't know. Ric Flair finally comes out, takes out his jacket. So Edge says that you're just coming out to admit that I'm a better wrestler than you.
Yeah, he left some blows.
What happened is Flair decides to whip his Edge butt. They fight. Lita hops on his back. They get out the ring and they broken up. And that's it. That was the match.
That's when it went on commercial. But during the commercial break on WWE Unlimited, they had another fight. They both get loose in the ring and they had a pretty good. It could have been a match.
Oh, for real?
It was pretty good. And if this is what the match is going to be like, fast pace, they can
fast pace with Flair.
Yeah, but it had a lot of movement.
So you trying to tell me you're looking forward to this Edge Ric Flair match?
I think that could be a pretty good match if they could pull it off.
Now it's time for the next match of the night.
I hated this segment.
I did too. Another beat the clock match. This was Chris Masters, the Masterpiece, versus Chavo Guerrero. Now, as Chavo come out, everybody's chatting Eddie. Now, question: how long will the people chat Eddie?
Gonna say till that dude get fired.
Because this has to kind of, I know it's good for Chavo knowing that he just lost his uncle, but it's like Chavo will never be able to find himself as long as they keep chatting Eddie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't mind it.
I don't mind it now, but I'm saying 6 months from now, are they going to still be chatting Eddie when Chavo come out?
Hopefully they have something to do with Chavo and to make him a bad guy.
I really miss Curran White, man. That was fun. It was going someplace. The feud with him.
Heat was going everywhere. Right.
So this was actually one of the few decent matches of the night.
I'm
going to call it decent because of Chavo avoiding the Masterpiece. You notice I didn't say good match. I said decent match.
I wouldn't even say decent.
It was a decent match.
I said it was nasty.
Pretty much. Chavo was aware of that, what Masters was trying to do, so he kept stalling and just doing what he could do to really cost Masters this thing. Finally, Masters got the Master Lock on him, but Chavo held on until the time ran out, and Masters just gave up and let it go and threw him to the side and grabbed the microphone, saying that he's going to be youngest champion ever. And then Chavo tries to attack him again.
He also said the chalk was cheating and it was moving fast. The King pointed out.
He called New Year's Revolution New Year's Resolution.
Which is TNA.
That's another side note. Then he tried to attack Chavo, but Chavo outsmarts him and tosses him outside the ring. And then the Eddie chants begin and he's living it up. Mm-hmm. So pretty much that was it.
And my problem with this, they didn't even finish the match. The match itself, man, could have got at least a decent score with me if they would have finished it. Instead, they had the just ended weirdly. And does that mean Masters himself have to compete first because he didn't even finish his match? Not that he just lose, he just didn't finish.
But what was flawed about this whole night was that they gave no method to how these random opponents were picked. It's just that they just came out. Yeah. And as the night went on, it got worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was time after this, another useless segment, Kurt Angle's announcement. All he did in the segment was badmouth the troops some more and then just walks off.
The Muhammad Angle.
Pretty much, yeah, they're doing a Muhammad Angle with Kurt Angle. I understand that they're trying to get heat for Angle, but the point is, it's not going to work because the people just don't like Cena no more.
Yeah, everybody's sick of him.
That's the problem. It's just that it's not that you can make. You can make Angle as evil and anti-American as you want, except you can't make him come up with no terrorist mask and do all that good stuff.
No, like Muhammad on UPN. But he went crazy, but I still give Muhammad the nod for being the best promo.
No, but I was talking to my coworker today. He came up with a great idea of how to bring Muhammad back into wrestling.
Feel it, Angle?
Yeah, he'll come back in. I see the errors in my way. Yeah. American is not that bad, and he fused with Angle.
I felt they could have did this a long time ago.
Guess what the problem is?
The Undertaker, because he got rid of him.
Guess what the problem is?
What?
He wanna act.
Yes, he's an actor now. Maybe I see him on
He lives out here in L.A. with us.
Maybe he'll be on upcoming season 24 I don't know. As a terrorist.
But we have digressed. It is time to move back on. Tori Wilson is giving her pitch as the general manager. But unfortunately, Vince is focused on her puppies. Her little dog that he was staring at, which he was really looking at.
Little dog is really becoming annoying to me.
It's annoying. I don't like little dogs. I don't like women with little dogs.
Like dogs, period.
Yeah, we all know your fear of dogs. But you would like Nintendo dogs. It's a very funny
dog. It's just a Kamaguchi.
Shantae's little sister. Man, it was bad. I'm digressing. Sorry, I'm about to have a sidebar with Marcus.
They don't know who Shantae is. You're going to throw
it. It doesn't matter. The dog, her dog. While we looked at the stats, it was famine and it was dying of thirst. Because of
Well, that's what happens when you give things to kids.
Okay.
Anyway. They will not take care of them.
All right, so back to wrestling. Todd Grisham.
Why did that come up?
I don't know.
Why are we talking about dogs?
Puppies. Yeah. So Todd Grisham comes back in because apparently Vince McMahon called him in earlier about something. He wanted him to deliver a message to Ric Flair that he would be fighting Edge at the pay-per-view at New Year's Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Good match. Then they cut to another back.
No, that, I think that was the biggest announcement of the night, that the Intercontinental title steals his ass.
Yeah. But the question is, does Edge win his belt?
I have to say he has to. Because you have to get it off Flair hands. But the thing is, you have to get it off Flair, though,
but he got money in the bank. I guess I can do an angle where he says, I don't need this belt, and drops it. Then they have that tournament because he want to use his money in the bank. Who knows? We'll see. Next is the Trish versus Mickey angle. Mickey James is backstage talking about how she didn't
get it. You said versus.
Whatever.
They're not fighting.
Yeah, I know they're not.
Mickey
James is back to telling Trish, you know how we didn't get to spend Christmas together. We had to go spend it with our families, but I got you a little something. They all that good stuff. Then she points out there's mistletoe up above, and then know what she does? She gives Trish a big fat kiss.
Trish, a juicy one.
Trish gets frustrated and walks out, and pretty much, Mickey looks like she made a move when she shouldn't have made a move.
Yeah, she shouldn't have made that move. Too soon. She should have made it when they were privately in the room.
Exactly.
The candles were lit and then they was in the mood.
Okay.
Back to my directing career.
All right, Marcus. All right.
I'm just saying. She acted too fast.
Now.
She forgot the dream.
The next match of the night is the biggest screw job of the century.
Yep.
Daivari versus Kurt Angle. I mean, Kurt Angle had the luck and the insight to draw a great pick like Daivari, a proven opponent that he could have took Kurt Angle to the limit.
And Daivari was in very good shape tonight.
And what happened is, Daivari gets to the ring, and he just collapsed, unfortunately. You know, he had that trick knee.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, Angle went up for the pin, but Mike Chioda refused to count.
And he's supposed to be calling this 1, 2, 3, right down the middle.
And the thing is, what was his problem? I know what they're doing. They're probably setting up a match between Daivari and Chioda. Don't know why, but they probably are.
I don't believe they could go that
I don't know why.
So, well, they have had problems with refereeing.
Yeah, no, but he's had more problems with Chioda. Remember? Yeah. The whole thing. So I can see this come at the Royal Rumble or something. So anyway, Angle's getting pissed because he's like, make the count. You see, Daivari's hurt. He needs to get outside the ring. You know, we need to end this match.
It wasn't like that.
No, it wasn't about him beating the clock. He was worried about Daivari's well-being. And I was concerned about Daivari's well-being.
I felt what they should have done. They could just do a little spinning around. He got Daivari just run, and then Angle act like he got body slam, and then he just falls out.
Don't talk about Daivari was too hurt to do it. That's why he kept falling down. But anyway,
yeah, everybody knows
Chioda, the trick knee.
Mm-hmm.
Chioda decides that he ain't gonna count. So Angle does what any man would do. He shakes Chioda and try to then, and Chioda decides to run outside the ring. And he runs through the fans around the building. So Kurt Angle's like, come back here. The man is dying in the ring. We need to make that 1, 2, 3. So Kurt Angle goes out to try to help Chioda get back into the ring. But instead, when Chioda finally makes it back into the ring,
he counts to 10 in 3 seconds.
Yeah, he counts Kurt Angle out. Basically screwing Kurt Angle. And Daivari didn't want this win. Daivari wasn't ready to compete. But he got it.
You know what they could have done just to save time? Daivari and Kurt Angle? They could have had Daivari whoop Chioda's
ass. I would have whooped Chioda's ass.
Daivari could have did and stopped the count. And he would have been DQ'd. Angle would have been winning in record time.
But you don't want Angle to come in last because proven facts, anytime in the Royal Rumble, the number 30th never wins.
Yeah, but you know, the big guy always gets the last pick anyway.
All right. Now it's time for the Big Show and Triple H contract signing.
Why?
Because they're trying to make this Triple H versus Big Show match very important.
There's no stipulation.
But Marcus, they're trying to make it seem like they have heat. Because what they're doing is they're setting Triple H for WrestleMania.
But couldn't they just have Triple H jump Big Show from behind when Big Show's conducting the interview?
I mean, it could.
And drag him around the arena like he did Flair.
But Marcus, can I ask you a question?
What?
You trying to tell me you didn't enjoy seeing Big Show get stabbed in the eye with ink?
Oh, I enjoyed that. But couldn't he done something else? You didn't need the contract.
One thing about but it kind of went quick because
it seemed long
because you have to throw in the entrance of Triple H. Why did they have to do their real entrance for the contract signing?
Why did they have to walk to the ring for the contract signing?
I don't know. And then who the hell I mean, who would have known that they were going to have a sledgehammer located under the table?
Oh, the coach in Triple H.
I mean, what the damn...
The Cerebro Assassin.
So anyway, he gets the sledgehammer that was just mysteriously right there. I'm telling you, Triple H has those magical powers. And he hits Big Show hand in it, breaking it. Which is pretty much adding more heat to their feud.
Funny part thing about it, I enjoyed over the contract signing... With a stab in the eye.
With a pin, because I didn't expect that. He said, ah!
And the mallet hit to the fingers looked pretty painful.
I did.
I didn't see how they got around without breaking Big Show's hand.
Okay, the next match is, because it's not
a Oh, by the way, I hate the contract signing.
It wasn't a real sledgehammer. Only time they ever tried to sell a real sledgehammer is when they hit it against the thing. Hmm. It was a fake one. So the next match was probably one of my, I'm not going to say because of the match, but it was entertaining me because people were into it. It was John Cena versus Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin.
And what happens throughout this whole match is that you start hearing it faintly. You start hearing, let's go, Shelton. Let's go, Shelton. Everybody singing, yes, go, Shelton. But then the kids and the women start chanting, let's go, Cena. The whole match is like, let's go, Cena. Let's go, Shelton. Let's go, Cena. You could help me here.
So we got I would help you, but you seem like you're doing such a good job on your own.
Anyway, so... Pretty much, the fans are divided here.
They're divided.
I was cheering for Shelton.
I mean, you got the drunken men, who some of them may not be drunk, some of them are sober. But when we was at wrestling, most of the men get drunk.
Oh, they were drunk.
They get drunk quick. But anyway, we got the men versus the women and children, and that was the match right there. But it was an okay match.
It was an okay match.
But the audience...
I mean, it's a basic John Cena match. Because you're going to get some clotheslines.
And some moves.
You're going to get some shoulder blocks.
And some moves.
I mean, I think he kept trying to land an FU.
Sheldon kept reversing
it. He landed one, but Sheldon popped out or something.
No, he didn't land one. Sheldon reversed all of them.
What? No.
Except for the one in the end.
Yeah. No, not to the FT. Oh, maybe. Anyway, what happens is Cena runs out of time. But unlike Master, he keeps the match going. Shelton goes for the enziguri outside the ring, hits his ankle against the ring post, gets into the ring, try to do something else.
He pokes him in the eye.
And
it works.
You can tell Shelton Benjamin ain't at the level of bad guy status yet because, for the simple fact, the eye poke did not work.
Well, he was crippled.
And Cena got him with the FU, the STFU. His new move where he gives you the FU, then straps on the STF.
Oh, by the way, at this point, when Shelton had done the enziguri and hit himself on the pole, me and Eric both had thought they're going to give Shelton some time off and give him a little hiatus, and he'll come back as one of the great.
But how were we wrong after they came back from commercial break? Shelton's on the phone talking to somebody, talking about you lost again and upset. We couldn't hear the phone conversation, but that's what he was portraying. And then this person said, I'm coming next week. And he was like, what? And then Shelton ended the phone with, I love you. So pretty much they're really going through with the angle of his mama coming.
Oh, by the way, one of our listeners sent the email about this.
Omar?
Shelton, yeah, he said that. He was like, way to go, Shelton. Everybody hated seeing that. And he enjoyed seeing it getting booed out the building by Shelton fans.
They really got to do something about seeing it.
They got to have him drop
Marcus,
the bill.
Marcus, it's not even Shelton fans. It was just people who hate seeing it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the Triple H syndrome.
It's the effect.
But the thing is, Triple H can give you a good match.
Because Triple H is supposed to get booed. Then, and you're supposed to root for the guy against Triple H. Cena is the guy you're supposed to
root for. After they show the Shelton phone call, they go into Vince McMahon's thing, and Matt Stryker's trying to preach that he needs to be the GM, talking about he'll make people write essays of 500 words, whatever. Stupid stuff. Most important thing of this, Vince makes another match for next week. First Blood, Cena versus Angle. Question is, does this mean because he made this match that he will be the GM next week?
I believe so. They're not going to have a new GM until after the pay-per-view.
I have to say something for the first time. Normally, I like to see Vince McMahon on TV because he makes wrestling better, but right now, he's making it really bad.
He's making it bad. Since he did the skit, the infamous skit of pulling barbecue sauce and cowboy hats out of
JR. I felt how he ended this show was worse than that damn skit. That's how
I
feel.
You know what?
That's how
it's close. The skit was awful. Eric.
Okay, now
Vince McMahon needs to stay
here we go
on TV.
This is one of my next favorite matches of the night. Not because of the wrestling, it's because it was funny as hell. Carlito versus Victoria.
He has the lucky drawing of drafting a diva
fool slapped her on the ass.
That was funny.
And then apparently people say if you go back, you can see a mark on her butt where he slapped her because that's how hard
I gotta go back.
And so I thought that was funny. But the greatest thing is when that damn dog gets in the ring and distracts people.
For a moment, I thought she was gonna cheat, grab the middle rope or something.
She hit him in the nuts.
Yeah.
But apparently that wasn't enough. But Carlito played the role of being pissed really good because he stopped playing around. He gave her the Carlito crash down.
That's what's called?
It don't have no name.
You call it the overdrive because that's what the video game calls it.
No,
pretty much.
It's the Carlito crash down. Anyway, he
awful.
Went. He says
give
the
a better name.
I don't care. He says the new time of 2:36, which is awesome, giving more credit to the theory that Kane is going to have the best time. And speaking of Kane, let's go to the next match. It's Kane versus the Heartthrobs. Once I saw the Heartthrobs come out, it was no doubt in my mind that Kane was having the best
time. Is it me or do the Heartthrobs and Maria have the same music?
Is it me? Did you forget about the Heartthrobs?
No.
Oh, they must fight on heat.
Yep, and they always get their big pop by the crowd for doing it. I don't know why they get a big pop, but
anyway,
they do.
Anyway, Kane won.
Kane eliminates him in 3 seconds.
And with a double choke slam, and he's the last one coming in, which means he will not win the belt.
Meaning he's the heart and soul
now,
of the Big Show.
Now, it's time for the last thing of the show. I didn't take no notes on it because I got bored with it really quick. Vince comes out talking about how he has the power, how he can screw people, how he screwed Bret, all this good stuff, and whatever. All of a sudden, Shawn Michaels come out. For what reason? I do not know, but he's out there. They talk. Vince is like, what you gonna do? Shawn says nothing. What you gonna do? You can't do nothing to me because you have no place to go. Yakety smackety. Pretty much, Vince McMahon's on the ring. See who has the bigger dick. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
This was size envy. Who had the biggest dick? I can show you that my penis is bigger than yours.
Very graphic.
That's what it was. Because you know what? I felt like Vince just took a shit on me. Because personally, you know how I feel about them ending wrestling with talking. And then, these, when you end wrestling with talking, at least make it entertaining.
At least you have a point.
This has no freaking point. Why does this man have beef with Shawn Michaels? Shawn Michaels apparently helped Vince screw Bret.
Yeah, he
so,
did.
What the hell?
And Shawn Michaels said he would still do the same today for the benefit of the company. And he didn't disagree with anything Vince
said. Exactly. And so why was Vince making these idle threats? And then Shawn takes off his jacket and then they go off. The waste of time.
And this is why I gave TNA a better review this week.
You know
what?
And
actually, TNA was a better show
exactly.
this week overall because Raw linking on with the stupid contract sign when they could have had Triple H get jumped. They could
have. I have no issues with the contract signing.
Masters and Chavo.
I have
issues. Could have ended.
Masters and Chavo
ending.
Was having a hell of a match.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was a good match until the ending. It was a good, exciting match.
Man, I wasn't excited.
It was a good match, but the ending ruined it.
All right, the ending sucked to that.
They had no method to their madness of picking opponents.
The Vince McMahon and Tori Wilson could have went. And Todd Grisham walking back there. What was the point of that? It was a lie.
Ripping off Conan O'Brien.
Ripping off Conan O'Brien. I mean, it just got worse and worse the whole night. And the only highlight was Shelton and Cena. Crowd versus Cena. Shelton in the crowd versus Cena and the Shane game.
And Carlito slapping Victoria on the ass. Yeah. And Trish getting kissed by Mickey James.
And from numerous reports, this is not Trish's first time kissing the girl. And I'm catching something. She did kiss Lita. Back when she was a bad
guy. Okay, why isn't Lita wrestling?
Because she's hanging around Edge.
Should she be wrestling?
She's Edge floozy right now.
I guess. Well, anyway.
And who would she fight? What would she really be wrestling for?
I don't know. As you guys can see.
Can't do nothing with these
people. As you guys can see, we really didn't care too much for Raw this week.
No, it was very taboo.
It was, not Taboo Tuesday.
No, just taboo. I just wanted to use the word.
I guess. So, I hated it. Marcus hated it.
I disdained it.
You know, even Ryan hated it.
Ryan
turned it off.
Ryan turned Raw off, and he's not the greatest wrestling fan. He knows that he'd rather go turn to the final Monday Night Football of all time on ABC. Not of all time, but, you know, for a while. Well, pretty much.
I was at my girlfriend's house watching this. The only question she asked me was, how did Triple H spit water out of his mouth after he spit it all out? And then she said the show was kind of boring. And I agree with her. She was asking me, what was the point of Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels? And I said, I do not know.
There is no point. There's no method to the madness.
So anyway, we're going to start.
Even our grandfather, a recent, let's say, cameo on the
show. Special guest appearance.
Cameo. Normally, wows about everything, gets excited about every little detail of wrestling. didn't make a single sound during Raw this week. And, you know, even with Carlito slapping Victoria in the butt, don't say
okay,
he was
Marcus,
bored.
I think that's enough. Let's go back, closing comments. We be out this piece.
We be out!
All right, see you guys then.
Comments! Hey, hey, tell me you're the Cyclops like that. Hey, tell me you're the Cyclops like that. Hey, tell me you're the Cyclops. Hey, hey, tell me you're the Cyclops. You know I move with the snub cause I'm like that. And you don't really want beef, you ain't like that. Ma, come here, yeah, tell me if it's like that. And move the body real slow just like that. Switch, slow down the beat, it's all love. Slow motion for me, like your ass is screwed up. Make you move like the Matrix and dude with stuck in slugs. Bleak the black sheep, mommy, now pick it up. Hey, back on the grizzly with Swizzy, back on the beat. Hey, Rockefeller. But I don't need pity email. I haven't been down on myself. I've been in great spirits for a while now. And Eric just threw that out
there. He's lying. Because we was playing Madden last night, and he snapped.
I always snap when I lose.
And right now, he refuses to play me in NBA 2K6 because I keep whooping his ass. Kobe.
Why do you got to throw my losing streak on the line out there? Do we really have close to coming? Well, I thank you for the emails and, you know. I don't need pity emails. Appreciate them, though.
Keep them coming.
Know. No, you can't control the army like this. You can't. We don't even have nicknames for the fans. Because
they're listeners. There's listeners.
Just the listeners.
I have listeners. Mars can have fans because he wants to feel important. So keep the pity email coming.
It's listeners and fans. It's all the same.
No, it's not.
Fans are short for fanatics, and I believe we got some fanatics.
I don't know.
We
doesn't
got
matter.
Because
I'm the game, and you know what? I just stabbed Marty's in the eye with a pen. Too bad he wears glasses.
You don't have a pen. Oh, hey! All right, now you miss. Now you miss because I wear glasses.
All right.
Now you can get away with that.
Well, I'm Eric.
And I'm Mark. Do we have to give out the information? Or
no.
Any music thing you got to plug?
It's Memphis Bleak.
It's copyrighted music. Copyrighted music again. What song do you know?
Like that.
Like that.
Like that.
Like that.
Hope you guys enjoyed Trevor Murdoch. Thought that was entertaining. And
are you going to put that clip? I'm going to mention it. I mentioned in the last three shows, there's a clip of a crying wrestling fan. Don't know if it's real. Don't know if it's fake. But I found it damn entertaining.
All right. Well, we'll put that on there since I put Trevor Murdoch in the show. Hopefully, like I said, we can find some more entertaining sound bites that we're going to throw in the show. Thought that was really cool.
And you know what I thought would be cool? What? I just went over this in my mind a few minutes ago when I was thinking of emails. That if the fans would send emails about what they thought of each match, not every, you know, every match, just your best match and stuff. And then we'll read that comment, if it's a great comment, over the air to give another sense of analyst of the match.
I wouldn't mind that.
I think that'd be pretty
like
cool.
After you guys watch Raw, like let's say if you like that show, because Omar sent us an email about the show match, which was kind of good. We could, instead of always having our insight or our opinion or stuff, let's get some of you guys' opinion. So that Marcus, great idea. This is one idea that might actually work.
It might work. Hopefully, the promo build, the killing the top five, and for the recap review field, which end up being the recap top five.
I don't know what the hell it was.
And do we have a top five for next week's show?
I don't know. We'll figure out that.
We need a top five, I think, within the time frame.
Well, Marcus wanted to give out some awards, so maybe we can do the top five
awards.
Yeah,
out of boredom, I made some trophy or something.
Anyway, so I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
If you want to email the constipated grand finale, do it at the sharpshooters.
I'm not constipated. I dropped it on for the last day.
How you going to interrupt me when I'm saying the sharpshooters at gmail.com? Please, people, send us email. Mm-hmm. Audio comments, come on.
And what do you feel about
Snap
going solo?
You know what? I might post a link to with who was that? Was that Omar that sent you that email to make you cheer you up with the Macho Man?
It didn't make me cheer up. I wasn't down and out. Well, it was funny, the Macho Man.
Alright. Well anyway, might send that. I'm Eric once again.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And this is the show, and we're the sharpshooters.
Was it a short show?
No, I don't know.
A little short
we'll
today.
Find out because unfortunately I don't have the time counter.
Oh, yeah, the way your new format and all that. All
right, Marcus, let's end the show.
All right. Over.
Bye, you guys.
Oh, episode 31, the sequel. Yeah, we hit him again. Bye. Put one hand in the air. It's like that. Like that. Paper out. It's like that.